right, welcome to the Money Lab Live Podcast, episode number 88, the always just enough money story. It makes a world go round. Money makes a world go round. It makes a world go round. Money makes a world go round. Yeah, money make a world go round. All right, welcome back to another live broadcast of the Money Lab Podcast. I am your host, Wei Hong, from the Six Figure Academy. Now, this is the podcast where we give you tips, strategies, and interviews with other entrepreneurs on how to create that ultimate entrepreneurial lifestyle free of bad money stories, money anxiety, and stress so that you can monetize your dreams and execute your genius. Now, if you haven't already downloaded our free ebook, From Money Anxiety to Six Figure Mastery, make sure you go to go.thesixfigureacademy.com. And I have to remind people, don't put www.go. No, it's just go. thesixfigureacademy.com and get it there. It's the perfect complement to all the things we discuss on this show, and quite frankly, it could change your life. Now, if you are joining us live today and you are not on YouTube Live, you're going to miss out on this lovely guest we have. You'll be able to see her in person. But if you can't make it, then make sure you get on Spreaker.com or download the Spreaker app on your mobile device and search for the hashtag, that's the pound sign, or in Japan, what they call a sharp. Weird. Hashtag the Money Lab, okay, so that you can join us in the chat room, ask questions, and interact with us and our guest. Now, while you're there, subscribe so that you don't miss an episode and can catch us every single week. For all other ways to find us, go to thesixfigureacademy.com/radio for all the details. And if there's something you love about what you hear on this episode today that you know could help someone you care about, just think about the title for a moment. Remember, sharing is caring. Share the show to that person. Now, well, I'm really excited about having this individual on our show today because she is the founder of Be The Change HR. Now, just think about that name for a moment right there, okay? You know, what I love about how she, when she submitted and gave me her bio and everything, and I already met her in real life, but when she submitted that, it was really cool because, you know, basically how she starts off her bio is this, if HR were to be a little rock and roll, a little therapy, a little attorney-ish, heart-driven and folded in with honesty, high-quality work and laughter, that would be our guest today. And instead of just reading this lengthy bio, just to kind of, we'll just talk to her straight up, okay? But this is Leilani Kirai.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, you said it right.
Yes. From Be The Change HR, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I know. Super, super cool. So, you know, you're actually, what I'm excited about is like you're actually the first guest we've had on the show inside the EMBTE studio with a proper background, with a brand new camera. We've got new camera, new equipment, new a lot of things. And I'm really excited because perfect way to do it is get a beautiful person on all this equipment so that you can actually go and start taking your podcast to the next level. So anyway, I know this is your first time. You've never done a podcast before.
No,
so
I'm really excited.
I know. This is super, super cool. And, you know, before we talk about the name of your you know, your business and everything, I always like to start off the podcast with talking about the money story. Because the Money Lab is all about understanding, helping people understand and reveal their money stories by, you know, hearing about other people and then understanding how you navigated out of that to create the success that you've had today. Because you've had quite the journey in life. Mm. You know, I mean, it's kind of like we could compare stories and we'd be like really excited. It's kind of like that. Remember that one scene in Lethal Weapon, where Mel Gibson was...
I haven't seen Lethal Weapon.
Oh, no.
Explain it to me, though.
Okay, so there was one scene where Mel Gibson and the girl who was in it, mm-hmm. and they're both really kind of active, and they're kind of, you know, and they were comparing scars. Mm. So we'll look at this scar. We'll look at that scar. And they were just going to be comparing scars back and forth, and then it turned into this massive love scene. But anyway, but the point is, you know, if you and I were to kind of compare stories and exchange stories and stuff like that, it would probably take an entire day.
Yeah, definitely.
But let's talk about your money story. I mean, today's episode is called Always Just Enough, and that's a reflection of what you kind of grew up with as your money story, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So tell the story to our audience here. I mean, what was that all about? What was your money story that you had to navigate through to create the success that you have today?
Money story is, it was always just enough. And, you know, growing up and then into my adulthood, I always had just enough money to get by. Mm-hmm. Or I would get to the point where I wouldn't have any money and then it would show up miraculously. But mm-hmm. it was always just enough.
Right.
It wasn't more than enough. It was just, okay, mm-hmm. I have enough to pay my bills. I have enough to, you know, to eat, put a roof over my head, that type of thing.
Right.
And in starting this business in the past year, I had to get over that story because just enough wasn't doing it anymore. It was also uh-huh. causing a ton of stress.
Okay.
Like I didn't want to just get by. Uh-huh. And so.
So this is a new transition for you. It wasn't like something that you conquered years and years ago. Mm-mm. So it's still pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I love that because a lot of times when people are listening to the show and they say, oh, okay, well, this person has been doing it since like 10, 15, 20 years ago and stuff like that. And that's why I like to have a whole variety, a whole wide spectrum of different types of people on different parts of their journey. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've created some great success in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
So where do you think that, was it from your childhood, was it from mom, dad, or what do you think that the primary teacher of was of that story?
I think it was definitely my family. You know, I had a great upbringing, but mm-hmm. we had just enough, right?
Right.
And so I think that just translated into my adulthood. Mm-hmm.
And before you started this business, how did it show up in your life to create not so pleasant circumstances?
Well, when you have just enough money and you're, you know, you live paycheck to paycheck and uh-huh. you know, you watch your bank account balance kind of drop and then something will happen. And sometimes it would happen miraculously to me. Like uh-huh. I'd get a check in the mail uh-huh. and it would cover whatever I needed. But
it only covered just enough.
Just enough.
Not as opposed to the abundantly more than
yeah. And so I would say in the past 3 years or so, mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of work behind all that, like mm-hmm. the whole idea of abundance and mm-hmm. you know, letting things come to you. And
right.
so when I launched the business, mm-hmm. it was one of those things where it's like, you have to change this story,
right?
Or you're not going to make it. Like you mm-hmm. you know, you have to rewire your brain. Prior to that, I was working with a company and I uh-huh. was, you know, making a decent amount of money, but at the same time, it still was just enough.
It still was just enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so did you start working on the story after you started the business or before you started the business?
I think before I started the business mm-hmm. is when I started working on the idea that, I am capable of much more than, you know, I had thought in the past.
Right.
And I was getting ready to launch this whole business. And
right.
and behind that, it was like, okay, what can I do in order to ensure that this will be successful?
Right.
And a lot of it came about in meditation.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
A lot of it was like, okay, let's visualize what you want for your future.
Okay.
Let's visualize what the business is going to look like. And
right.
then once I launched it, I started doing visualization exercises and meditation.
Uh-huh.
Simple things like, what does your bank account balance look like?
Right.
You know, because when I started out, I didn't have a lot of capital. On a wing and a prayer, I said, I jumped off a cliff and I knew that I would make it because I knew I could fly.
Uh-huh.
But then when you start something like that, then you have, you know, X amount of money in the bank and
right.
you watch it just like trickle down and you're like, okay, wait, what are, you know, trying not to have that nervousness behind it
right.
that, you know, the money will come.
Right.
And so that was a lot of the practice too. Like calm down. It will come in good time.
So how did you know to meditate on that? I mean, it sounds like that was the process that you utilized to kind of help confront this money story mm-hmm. and I don't know if you tackled it head on or not, but you took a more meditative approach to fixing that problem, because a lot of people struggle with meditation. I mean, what was the kind of meditation that worked for you to help you achieve that?
So the year that I started the business was a tough year for me.
Mm-hmm.
I ended a long relationship with someone I considered my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I had surgery. I had some massive tumors removed,
mm-hmm.
and then I stepped back into a work environment that was extremely caustic, and I was also on this path to being an HR executive, right? I was in a director role,
right?
And through all that, started to have severe anxiety.
Oh.
And so I've been told years prior, like, you should meditate, you know, it's right. really good for you, it's healthy. And I'm like, whatever, you guys. So,
I think everybody goes through that, at least.
Right.
I think that's part of everybody's spiritual path at
yeah.
some point. So you should meditate. Ah. meditations for the birds.
Right.
I don't even know if birds meditate, though.
Probably.
Maybe. They just sit there. Just stare at
them.
Yeah.
and then through that, I was seeking help, and I didn't want to do it. I was having these severe anxiety attacks, and I didn't want to do it with a medication. And so my doctor was like, we'll go see a cognitive behavioral therapist. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really was like, if I want to control this, I need to meditate. So it started very simply with mindfulness exercises, right? Mm-hmm. Close your eyes. What do you hear? What do you smell?
So being present.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the same time, I was reading Eckhart Tolle's books.
Oh, yeah.
So if you
couple
those two together,
right.
It was about, don't stress out about your past. Don't stress out about your future. Like, the only thing you have is here now.
Right. Exactly.
And so that's where it really started. And from there, little things started happening with the people who are present in my life, mm-hmm. the books that I was reading, mm-hmm. my meditation practice, mm-hmm. and then the idea, the 3/4 of the way through the year, my grandfather passed, who I was really close to.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, I had taken a sabbatical because the whole work thing had just taken ahead, and I couldn't take anymore. So
your body was telling you. It was going through all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
The tumors and everything. Our body's a funny thing. I mean, when that kind of stuff happens and we don't make a lifestyle change, which sounds like you did,
mm-hmm.
Then we're just going to continue to create problems again, even if you surgically take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to come back in a different way or some other way if you don't change your lifestyle.
It's true, and I'm still continuing that journey till today. I'm seeing a holistic doctor mm-hmm. because my medical doctor told me it was going to come back.
Oh, God.
Right.
That's a hashtag PITF moment. Do you know what that is?
No, what is that?
Okay, I'm going to use it as much as I can just so that people learn about it. Mm-hmm. Hashtag PITF is hashtag punch in the face.
Yeah, and...
Right?
Like,
is it so relevant?
Yeah, it is. It was a punch in the face. I was like, well, I don't want to go through this again. This is horrible.
I know. But I say punch him in the face because no medical doctor should be telling somebody, oh, it's going to come back just because in the past they've seen it happen.
Yeah, he said 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
10 years. And I thought, well, I have to fix this. So
that's assuming you follow the same path that you did for the last 10 years.
I changed it.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
So a different doctor, understanding, the different things or on a journey of what I need to do to heal myself is happening, even to present day.
Right.
Especially with going to your event at EMBTE, that was also a part of it, like the little shifts that you were talking about.
It was super cool. I was glad you were able to be there and just, I connect with that community and mm-hmm. everything like that because I think it was very much relevant. I mean, I remember when I first invited you to go there, you said that you were totally into that, and is this a big difference than your previous life, if you will, prior to where you are today in terms of Be the Change HR and everything?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So back to last year, my grandfather passed. I had taken time out. I had to. I was physically sick, high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. My extremities were always numb. I was having a hard time breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, I was able to take the time off. And then that's when my grandfather passed. And I remember I was able to mourn with my family. And I was flying home, and I had this epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, because I was thinking of just entering back into the workforce, and I thought, why don't you just do what you've done your entire career?
Mm-hmm.
But for yourself.
Hmm.
And prior to that, I had this idea that I wanted to find a way to marry philanthropy and human resources, which is a weird thing. Like, how do you put these two things together, right?
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get.
And in the years prior, I had bought some URLs. I remember the one, HR Consultants for Change, and I was exploring, do I start a nonprofit? How does this work? And so on that flight home, I was like, you should just do this yourself. Like, figure out a way to do this.
Right.
So you can do the two things that you love.
Uh-huh.
And very short after that, I came up with the name Be the Change HR. I have it tattooed on my back.
You do?
Yeah. It's like, be the change you want to see in the world is down my
right,
back.
Right,
and
right.
I thought, well, that's it. I immediately went online. I'm like, do they have the URL? It's available.
Well, I love that because, we talk about it all the time. It's like, if you want, and EMBT is all about transformational change. Mm-hmm. And if you want the world to change, it starts with you.
Yeah.
Right? And so how did you end up marrying the two, Be the Change and, in HR? What's that mission, vision statement that people can kind of, hang their hat on? It's like, oh, that's what Be the Change HR is all about.
So what I've done is I've taken, yeah, I do human resources for small to medium-sized businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And I have, I say, a holistic approach to that. I'd like to understand the entire business, the people within it, and then of course, human resources, there's laws, so right. The spirit of the law and how all that works. Uh-huh. But the other piece of it is my company donates 10% back to charity of its profits. Uh-huh. And I learned that in my career through a company I worked for, Samazon, was a B Corp, and how they did that.
That's the natural energy drink thingy.
Yeah, they have energy drinks and acai, and they do the little acai
stuff.
Bowl.
Yeah, cool company.
And then
I didn't know they were a benefit corporation.
Yeah, they're a certified B Corp.
That's cool.
They do a lot of stuff in Brazil.
I like them more now.
Yeah.
Yeah, little plug. Anyway, sorry.
I've woven into that a lot of volunteer work that I do. So I feel like I make a decent amount of money right now to where I don't have to work like billable hours all the time.
Right.
So what I do with that is I donate my time back. I teach classes at several nonprofits, and I'm a house mentor at a women's shelter.
Okay.
And so that's what it is. It's a business that is woven itself into helping the community,
right,
to giving back monetarily, and then to also have a human who understands that, you know, people in the workforce, it's important to take care of them.
Because of what you went through.
Yeah.
You know.
And then what I see in my career, I mean, I can't tell you, you think that hopefully things like discrimination or harassment don't happen to this day, but they do all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's in what I do with the investigations and all the other human resources stuff, it's your proponent for not only your client and the employer, but also the employee. And so I've learned that delicate balance of towing that line.
Right.
Not too far for the employer and not too far for the employee. Like, it's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be the change, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, before we go too far, I'm going to bring it back to you in terms of the story and everything like that. When you decided to become entrepreneurs, because a lot of people have some amazing ideas like you had, and they have epiphanies, but they don't take action on it. What would you say is the difference? I mean, because, you know, a lot of times people will listen to these stories and say, like, oh, I wish I could do that. And I'm always wondering, well, why not?
Yeah.
Right? So what was it within you, do you think, that separates you from, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that you know of that had great ideas or have great ideas and are still not doing anything about it.
I think it's simply just believing in yourself.
And
then setting out an action plan to make it happen.
Right.
Right.
And was this something that you always had within you growing up, or was this something that, due to life circumstances, you had to awaken to that embracing self and believing in self?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. My path from, you know, childhood to now has been that. It's been this journey of, like, okay, step up your, like, keep, you know, improving yourself.
Right.
Change your situation. Like, if you're not happy, then, you know, go to the next step. And so I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. Because let's talk a little bit more about some of the, all the reasons and possibilities you've had growing up that would have given you an excuse to not do what you're doing today or not be as successful as you are today. Because, you know, I think people love kind of like seeing that as an inspiration for them if they're stuck, if they're going through circumstances in life where they just, you know, feel that they've been dealt a bad hand, right?
Yeah.
You've been able to, and I think that's what you do when you donate your time. You go out and you inspire these women based on your story. You know, we don't have to go too deep into it, but just, you know, let's give the audience a little taste of what is it that you had to kind of deal with, and that's how you become an inspiration to other women to do what it is that you're striving to help them do.
Right.
Today.
So I've been volunteering for over the past 10 years. And when I would do that, mainly with women. So Working Wardrobes is a nonprofit I work with, WHW.
What do they do?
WHW and Working Wardrobes, they do essentially the same thing. They help people transition from difficult life situations back into the workforce.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful marriage with what I do, right?
Right.
So women who were, you know, human trafficking victims, domestic violence, former addicts, incarceration, or just people who are out of work for a while. They help them transition back in. And so I would teach classes.
Okay.
You know, starting with a lot of confidence building, and then transferable skills, and how to write a resume, and how to interview. And I would tell them after the course or after the class, because I wanted to motivate them. Like, I know what you've been through. Like, I know what it's like to hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And when I would tell them that, they would like lighten a little bit. Like, really? Like, what happened to you? And I'm like, and I would tell them, I hope that one day you can be in my spot. And you don't have to say. Just know that that I know what it's like. And I started switching that up. I started saying that in the beginning.
Right.
And so most recently, working with a women's shelter out in Santa Ana called Wise Place. Yes.
W-I-S-E?
Mm-hmm.
Wise Place.
Yeah.
Is it a wise place? Is there a lot of wisdom there?
Yeah. So they have 60 women in their gymnasium, just like an emergency shelter. Mm-hmm. They have 30 women in a 90-day program.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have something called the Positive Steps House, and those are 6 women in a 2.5-year program.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down with them the first time I met them, which after they asked me to be their house mentor, which I was so excited.
Oh, cool.
I felt very blessed. That I told them, like, I know what it's like,
uh-huh.
you know, to have to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, or I say, put your big girl panties on,
right?
And you know, and continually improve yourself. And
reminds me of that commercial. I'm a big kid now. Yeah. What is it called? Those pull up diaper things.
Yeah. And recently started sharing with them my story, and I think. Or maybe I'm assuming, but I think people look at me and, you know, I'm this business is, it's been over a year, so I'm excited that it's been open, and that I have this growing success behind me.
Right.
And I don't know if people, like, would look at me and know the stuff I've been through, but I also think part of my journey is to tell that truth and to inspire other women. Like, you can make it happen for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, because for those of that are watching us on YouTube and stuff like that, you seem very put together. Like, you've never everything and very professional. You know, and when you show up, I'm sure you show up, you know, the same way. So it might be hard to believe for people to, like, kind of like the journey that you went through to get to where you are today. So what's one of the stories that you share with those women? I mean, you know, that you may feel comfortable to share here. But I mean, what would be one of the stories that you share with them to kind of help inspire them? Because a lot of times I'm sure it's like, you know, I know what it's like. And they're like, and I'm sure there's somebody that's going, yeah, right. Look at you.
Right.
You're like, you know, beautiful, perfect. And you've got this business going. You don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
And have you ever encountered that? I mean, people, not to that degree. I mean, it's a little extreme. I'm overacting, so to speak. But
The look of disbelief, I think, is what I get.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, what was that?
And so what do you say to them when you...
Did you go bankrupt or something? Like, what,
what are you, like a Trump model or what's going on?
Yeah. So. I, through my youth and my young adulthood, really struggled. When I was 16, in a moment of desperation, I took a ton of pills, and didn't want to live anymore, right? And I remember waking up the next day and being really groggy, and going to school. Yeah. And during that same time period, I'd reached out to my mom and wanted help. I was seeing a counselor. And through 16 until probably my mid-20s, I just battled depression. When I was 25, I kind of went off the rails, and this is where it gets really dark for me. Within 6 months, I had attempted suicide twice. The first time, again, I had did the same thing, and then the third time, which was the final time, a close friend of mine, we were on the phone when all this was happening, and it was this frantic thing that was going on, and he called the police. And thank goodness he did.
Right.
I was taken to the hospital and put on a hold.
Sure.
And I got at that time the help that I really needed. I was just this 6 month downward spiral of drugs and alcohol, coupled with this terrible depression where I couldn't get out of bed. Sometimes for days, going to the restroom was a chore. Like it was just, it was just absolutely awful.
Yeah, people who have who have never experienced that level of depression have no idea that, you know, you would think like, oh, of course you would go to the bathroom. It's like, no.
No, it's like if you remove like just all the light out of your life and all the love, and you think that the world would be a better place if you just weren't around, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where I was at. So dark.
Yeah.
Such a dark place.
Right.
And then that wasn't the end, right? So I got out at the hospital, and it was like, okay, you need to get your stuff together.
Right.
And then that's where I got into one level deeper. And at that time, started doing methamphetamines.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like Breaking Bad, like?
It's not that cool. It's not that cool.
I've only seen a couple episodes of that show, but I guess Hollywood likes to make things look cooler than it actually is.
No, yeah. It's not Breaking Bad cool. And during that time, it was the most dark that I had gone through.
Right.
But at the same time, I knew, like, you're not supposed to be here. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
That's
what you're doing, what you were doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a year had, you know, as that does and as addiction does, it just engulfs your entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up one day and I remember thinking, this is not your life.
Mm-hmm.
There's more for you.
Right.
And I swear, just like that, I just quit.
You had an Eckhart Tolle moment.
I did. And I've had people say, like, you didn't get help. And I've had people tell, like, medical doctors about my story. And they're like, that's not possible. And I'm like, no, that's exactly what I did. If I didn't do that, like, I was going to die or end up on the streets.
Right.
And I'm really lucky that I didn't. They have an amazing family that, you know, took care of me during that time.
And, okay, and they stood by you the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite...
Not saying a word, by the way. I know, like, I have an amazing family. They just watched me go through it, and I believe that they had faith, and they were probably praying a ton,
right,
that I would come out the other end.
Wow!
And so
they were just basically a safety net, waiting there to catch you.
If they weren't there, I would be homeless for certain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in that time period when you're in that state, I lost everything,
right?
Of course, except for the roof over my head.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about that too, because I'm sure there are other families out there that struggle with the same type of thing and not knowing what to do. I know in my family, I would have been yelled at and struck and everything the whole way through, which would have made things worse.
Yeah,
and the fact that they just kind of watched and prayed and
love, isn't it? Like it's just, you know.
Yeah, like people, you know, people say God doesn't judge, but he doesn't say much either. He just watches.
He's just like this. Okay,
is it time yet?
All right, babe.
Okay.
Done?
Are you ready?
No,
okay, good.
Not yet?
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
One more time.
And I quit just like that. Just like that. It was so crazy.
Right.
And no more than a month later, it's like, okay, you gotta get back in the game.
Yeah.
And I took a part-time job doing payroll for such an interesting lady. Right. She was a dominatrix corset maker.
What?
But she was she was like one of the leading corset makers.
Wow.
But she also would share with the staff. She'd have people come over and we'd have to leave early. And I was never exposed to it. I just knew what was happening, going on. And on top of that, she was
everybody's
like...
Everybody's off early. Yay.
She was like in her 70s. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just because you're in your 70s doesn't mean you can't have. I mean, look at what's his name from Playboy, Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still going strong. No.
But I started doing payroll because prior to this break that I had, because I was going through it.
Right.
I was in HR before. Like I've been doing payroll since I was 16 years old.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So people will say, "Well, yeah, you just started your business." No, you've been doing it since
I started the corporation prior to the whole like blackout downward spiral period I had.
Right.
My first corporation. I got derailed. You know, but good thing I did, because of course if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, and I wouldn't be so passionate about what I do. And so the first job was part time, you know, and I'm doing payroll, and I'm like, okay. And then, you know, taking like little HR gigs, and then getting to the point where, okay, I'm ready for the next step. And I had a girlfriend who told me, if you're not making $10,000 more than you were last year, then move on. I didn't do it that quickly. I had to say every like 2 years. I was like, okay, like what's the next step? Like, because I was climbing myself out of this hole that I had gotten myself into. And I knew like, okay, just another little step and then another little step. And then I got to a place where I'm like, okay, like looking back, like you're doing good. Keep this up. And that was that whole thing started, about 12 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 12-year hike out of the abyss.
Yeah.
if you will.
Yeah. And, but I mean, it's, I think that's in perfect pace, you know, because in that time period, it's not only, you know, continuing my career and what I love to do, but becoming a better human and trying to continually improve and honestly dealing with the damage that I had done, you know, with everything that I had gone through.
Yeah. You know, and it's something interesting that, that I love about, like, you know, be the change. And I think I am at the MBT event, we talked about this where change is instant. I think I used you as an example.
Because smoking was one of like the, I feel like there was all these like little things I wanted to ditch from my past.
Right.
I'm like, okay, smoking reminds me of that time. I have to get rid of that. So the last piece was during that time period, I got this ugly, like dragon looking tattoo on my hip. It was, everyone thought it was a seahorse. I'm like, no, it's not a seahorse.
It's like one of those Facebook things, like tattoos that just, but seahorses
so
not that.
But
seahorses
you were talking about smoking, like it was just like, okay, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It's hurting my body. The tattoo thing, last April, I got it covered up. Sorry, Mom. My mom was like, don't get tattoos. With a rose this big. It's pretty though. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of did that to cover up a scar too. So I have a little thing on my back of, the late Stan Lee. Yeah, he's my guy. So I have one of his characters that he created on my back. So, you know, it's a little bit of a shout out to Stan Lee. Thank you for everything. You know, it was just on yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that guy. That guy was cool. What a life, though.
Yeah.
95. So it was interesting because when you see people who live a full life and everything like that, and you read the articles that they talk about, you know, and this is kind of relevant because you think about, you know, being the change. What do you want people to say about you when you finally leave, for real?
Oh, man, that's such a big question.
I know. I always ask that, too. It's like, well, how many people do you want to show up at your funeral?
Mm-hmm.
And people's, and it's always interesting to hear what people say because, you know, if you are here to make an impact, to create change, you when I went to my uncle's funeral a couple years back, it was like people were piling outside of it. I mean, and they were all impacted by his life. And then you take it to another level. You take, like, when Michael Jackson had his, you know, thing, and the people show up that have never met him in person, and yet they showed up anyway. Think about that, those different levels of impact, you know, being the change, so to speak. You know, and so I was reading the article with Stan Lee and stuff, and it wasn't like, oh, my God, this is terrible, and stuff like that. It was almost like a celebration of everything that he created. And so I said, you know, that's the way to go, right?
Yeah.
And so, but to do that, you have to create that impact now.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Be the change now.
This past year, through meditation, through building the business, through my volunteer work that I kicked up a notch this year, right? Usually I was only doing it like once or twice a month. Now it's more. In that process, it came to me. I'm like, oh, you're here to inspire people, right? To do better, to be better, to achieve their goals, to go for it, right? In launching this business alone, it did that, and I had an epiphany. You know, I'm like, I want to speak on this,
right?
And it just so happens the women's shelter. So I work with the Positive Steps House, the six women, but the women's shelter, they're asking me to speak to the whole group.
Nice.
Yes. And so that's what I want to do with my life. Let people know, like, you could be in dire straits. Uh-huh. I've been there. Right. You know, you can pick yourself up, put right. your big girl panties on,
right.
and make it happen for you. Whatever that is for you, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's, you know, the women I work with now, it's like, okay, you know, get a better job.
Right.
Yeah, you can totally do that. You know, or get a, you know, move into an apartment
uh-huh.
And be able to sustain yourself. And I think that's important. And then talking about impact. So last year, a week after I launched the business,
mm-hmm.
I had this epiphany. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know all these people on LinkedIn, but I don't know any of them, like all of them personally.
Right.
I know some of them, but not all of them. Because I was right. one of those people that's like, approve.
Network. Yeah, network. Yeah.
Look at how many people I know.
I feel good now.
Yeah. And so I started reaching out to people I didn't know.
Mm.
And I was, you know, I told them I have no intention. And I just want to get to know you, coffee, mm-hmm. lunch, a phone call, whatever.
That's great.
Yeah. And I had someone reach out and say, it's going to be great to see you again. I don't know. I didn't. So we go to lunch and he gives me a hug and he's like, it's so good to see you. And I'm like, I don't remember you.
Like, and that's like the worst feeling, right? It's like you feel right. so bad. It's like, I was like, wow, you obviously know me, but oh my God, I don't remember you.
And he told me, I met you at Working Wardrobes. And I said, oh, you know, he said, you work there? And he said, no, I was one of your clients. They call them clients. And I was like, where? And then he told me where, and I looked at him and I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
So we sat down and he told me, long story short, he was homeless, and he told me I'm launching a vegan soft serve ice cream, which I'm like, yeah, because I try not to eat dairy.
Right.
And he said, when we're ready, I'd like you to do my human resources. And then, you know,
he said he was homeless and now he's launching a whole thing.
And I was just floored. I walked away from that like, okay, that's what I do that for.
That's why it validates it all, right?
Yeah, you teach these people and then off they go. And you just hope that, you know, they do what they want to do and they make a good life for themselves, whatever that looks like. And that was an amazing, you know, inspiring piece. And then fast forward, I did this, networking event, and I invited everyone that I had met that was strangers on LinkedIn, and then uh-huh. the other people I'd met networking. I remember looking around because I thought maybe nobody's going to show up, and everyone that said they were going to show up showed up, and I thought, you built this by just building relationships with people and caring about other people and asking people, what can I do to support you with what you're doing?
Right.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I mean, you know, just listening to you talk about that, I found myself going back thinking about, well, what have I done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, you know me, I'm all about how do we serve better? How do we help people change their lives and mm-hmm. everything? And I think one of the reasons why I end up doing what I am doing today was throughout my journey serving myself or serving the company I was working at, I was inadvertently starting to kind of forge that path a little bit. I still remember, wow, that's such a cool story. You know, I still remember there was one person, I used to have a wholesale distribution sales business where basically they just had to be willing to learn, be coachable, willing to work, and I really didn't care about what they brought in with their resume.
Mm.
And so I had one girl who actually came in, had a mouth of a sailor. Had a glass eye, you know, and her previous vocation, she was, I didn't know about this, which kind of blew me away. She said she goes, I think when she made it to a point where I was helping her open up another office that she would run
mm-hmm.
under my, so she would help me run that office. She sat there during the promotion in front of the meeting and everything like that. She stood up and she says, you know, I'm, she's in tears, she's crying, and then, of course, this one eye, she goes, this is really bugging me because it's she has a glass eye. Made her laugh so hard it popped out one time. I was like, oh my God, Tony, you. And she said, looked at me and said, thank you, wait, this is, I'm going to share something that I've never told you guys. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, you know, my previous job before this, you never asked, so I'm so glad, and I'm so glad you took a leap of faith to bring me on despite my rough edges.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, it's like she was this like little tiny pit bull, you know? But her previous job, she said, I was a prostitute.
Mm.
That was her previous job. And I sat there and I said, what? And she was crying and she goes, I never thought that I'd be able to do something like this. Nobody would take me seriously. My mouth, I'm uncouth. She was swearing every other word. And I was like, okay, you're still doing it, but okay. Just remember, don't do it in the office. But all these little, and there were a bunch of these in my life, in a journey of where I got to, that I, until you told that story, I never took the time to take inventory and think about that. It's so cool, though. But I mean, and it must have been in that moment, just like, yes.
Yeah.
That was like validation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is why I do what I do. And these probably give you an infinite amount of energy that you will never, never have to deal with ever again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to worry about how, why am I doing what I'm doing, right? Do you ever deal with that these days? I mean, you know, just, you know, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they struggle with that sometimes. Like, still, there are days that you wake up and you're just like, ugh, do I want to do something? Do I want to do it? Do I want to go to bed?
I mean, with what I do, it takes a lot of emotional strength,
mm-hmm.
because I deal with
so people. You are human.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I thought maybe you turn into a cyborg, and now you're like this, I'm going to take over the world, be the change.
No, actually what ends up happening is I push myself so hard, or I don't take care of my emotional health to the point where I like burst into tears or I get sick. That's something I'm working on right now.
Okay.
You know, it's like, when do I stop? Like, right. When is it enough? Like, you know,
with
building the
that.
Business, right. And I'm like, what's the next level and how do I get there? But I also have these amazing moments where I look back and mm-hmm. and I always say the same thing to my younger self. Like, it's really emotional for me. I say to her, I remember the first speech I did. I said I was going to do a speech. I did this the first speech. I'm walking in and I stopped in my tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came over me. And I was like, look, baby girl. Like, look at you now. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because in those moments where I was just head in hands pleading, like, I just want this to stop.
Mm.
You know, that's in these moments where I'm achieving things that are important to me.
Right.
I turn back to her and right. I'm like, hey, pick your chin up. Like,
yeah, because that's the part that's
yeah.
bring. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's just having that conversation with self,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But again, the other part of it is like, okay, well, when do I rest?
Right. Well, yeah, but see, I think that's a very common struggle that a lot of entrepreneurs have, especially in the beginning. There are probably moments that's like, oh my God, I didn't realize this is this much of an undertaking
mm-hmm.
to be able to just run a small little boutique business, right? Or however you want to grow it, mm-hmm. you know, and whatever vision you have for it. I know for me, sometimes I wake up and I just lay in bed and I say, like, I don't want to get up today.
Yeah.
Just like,
and then I realize this, I don't have sick pay. There's no one to do my
people,
work.
You know the whole HR thing. It's like, right. my HR benefit package
right.
sucks.
There's no one to like jump in and do the work for me, which is fine. In those moments, I'm like, okay, like every once in a while I have to cancel something or
right.
I have to.
So, you know, yeah. So how do you navigate? Because a lot of people, this is not an uncommon struggle mm-hmm. that a lot of entrepreneurs, especially new entrepreneurs, go through. Especially being the first year, how do you make sure that you don't completely get derailed like you did with the first time you did it? And then,
right.
But also to honor yourself at the same time.
Honesty, humility and honesty. If I'm having one of those days and I know I can cancel, I will tell them the truth.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Hey, I've been pushing myself really hard. I would like to stay at home in sweats and watch Netflix.
I love that.
But if it's really important, I will come out. Like, I will come out, you know, for you. And everyone's always really understanding. It doesn't happen a ton, but when it does happen, I think
the quicker you are to just be honest with yourself and honest with the people mm-hmm. around you, the less often it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? Like, sometimes I see a lot of people say this happens more often than not because they're constantly not allowing themselves to take that break.
Yeah.
To have a Netflix binge day or something like that mm-hmm. just to just rejuvenate, recover.
But what I actually try to do is, so I'm a huge outdoors person,
mm-hmm.
outdoorsy gal.
That's right.
Gal.
Yeah.
I just climbed my 51st mountain.
51st?
Yeah.
51?
It was a short climb. It was only 4 miles, but it's a summit. So it was Garnet Peak. My friends and I, we on 11/11 watched the sunrise. So what I do is uh-huh. I would say at least twice a month,
uh-huh.
I'm either camping,
okay.
which is off the grid, so there's no phone.
Right.
Kind
of like this room.
Yeah.
There's no cell phone signal in this room, so you're off the grid.
Or I climb a mountain, or I go, uh-huh. I do something to where I disconnect.
Okay.
I have to, or I'm going to get, again, last year was a big understanding of my anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I need to balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I could tell you because yesterday you took the assessment that we do.
I did.
Uh-huh. And I can absolutely tell, yes, you are totally honoring yourself, being able to embrace that piece that needs to kind of, you know, tuck away, close the door, be off the grid from the world. Mm-hmm. That is a critical part of your health.
Well, because what I do, and most of us, we have to be fully present. Mm-hmm. When I'm with a client, I have to listen, mm-hmm. not just, you know, especially with what I do, because there's always complex situations I'm dealing with.
Right.
This person's having a performance issue. This person's being discriminated against.
Right.
You know, I'm having, you know, I have high turnover. Like, what do I do? And so you really have to pay attention with that. And then with my volunteer work, it's the same thing. It's
giving my energy to
these people, mm-hmm. these women, and I want to be there not thinking about anything else but the task at hand.
Being present, right.
But then sometimes at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, man, I'm tired.
Yeah, and that's rejuvenation time,
yeah.
right? No, and I think the important thing is, I think the important message or way from all this is that how you've been able to do it is really listening to yourself
mm-hmm.
and honoring yourself and actually proactively doing self-care.
Yeah.
Right? Go climb another mountain or something.
With Amen, I'm like, so I said when I hit 50 summits, I wouldn't count anymore. And then I'm like, 51.
51, here we go. Add another one.
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about your business because there's a lot of different HR companies out there, mm-hmm. right? And you say you work with small to medium-sized businesses. What is so unique aside from the fact that it's so all the different the mission and the vision and the purpose that is driving that
mm-hmm.
you behind Be the Change? But what specifically is something that if someone was looking into working with HR? Why would they engage with your company for their business?
Because I don't act like normal HR people.
Okay, and what's let's do a contrast comparison. What's normal HR HR company?
I'm not saying all of. Sorry, if anybody's in HR, not everyone
sure.
acts this way,
right.
but I would say a majority. And so, it's very rules driven, and it's very like if you don't do everything completely by the law, then you're gonna get sued. And your whole business is going to go down in flames. So you have to do
it's
this
like
thing.
It's like a doom and gloom, like
yeah.
fear tactics,
it's like a,
right?
like a finger wagging kind of thing. And
okay.
I've had this amazing upbringing in business with entrepreneurs who would tell me, like, Leilani, it's not that black and white.
Right.
Leilani, you can't just do this. Like,
right.
And I learned to soften up.
Hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. so most of when I was in-house, most of the business I worked for were around 100, 150. I had a couple contracts with large employers, a couple publicly traded companies.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, small to medium-sized business.
Mm-hmm.
And through that education through them, I realized, like, there is a better approach to human resources.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a little, I'm quirky. So I think I make it palatable. I make human resources easy to do.
Right.
Well,
I loved your presentation that you did the other day when you spoke about it. It was very digestible.
Yeah.
And easy to listen to and engaging. And I think, and it wasn't boring. You know, and I think I think that's the big thing is that I know for me when it's like HR, I was like, ugh. Kind of do
yeah.
HR, but I think what you bring to the table is like, oh, HR, cool.
I mean, like yeah. my sexual harassment training, the one that's required by law, which right now, if you have 50 or more employees, you have to do 2 hours of training for your supervisors. But that's changing in January.
Okay.
Now, if you have 5 or more employees,
wow,
everyone has to do it. So you have the supervisory training and then you have the employee training.
Right.
My training, people are laughing. Like, I make it funny. I'm waiting for the time where, like, a client's like, that was inappropriate.
That's a little bit too much quirkiness.
Right. I show comedy clips, basically, throughout
right.
the whole thing of what not to do and some That's What She Said jokes. And
did you see that one that's circulating around right now from the UK?
No.
It's the woman. Oh, I got to show you. It is
you have
really,
to send it to me.
Yeah.
I'll put it in there.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll show you after we're done. I'll pull it up. It's hilarious.
But it's that's my different approach is that I make it palatable. I make it fun. I make it funny. Attorneys hate it when I say this, I work in the gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll tell you, like, you can't not pay minimum wage. I mean, there's certain laws, like, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. Morally, it's wrong.
Right.
There's other stuff, it's kind of like, maybe you can get away with it. Like, I'll tell you your liability, but, you know.
It's up to you. Ultimately, it's up to you.
Yeah, it's always a business owner's decision. And then the other fun part of it is, and amazingly, I have clients right now who do this with me. You know, instead of it being a write-up, it's a conversation. Like, hey, John, like, what's going on? Like, you've been displaying kind of a attitude. And I'm here, you know, I just want to talk to you about it. Like, is you know, is there something I can do to help? Is there something happening in the workplace that... you know, something happening at home.
Right. Because I think a lot of people approach HR and they think, you know, and this is really important. I think one of the things that you brought up that was really like, oh, if you have just one employee, you should have, you know, you should talk to somebody who, like you, who specializes in HR. And, you know, what's interesting, what I like about your approach is that most people approach HR as like, okay, I got to do this to cover my butt. I got to do this to make sure I don't get in trouble or I don't get sued.
Right.
Whereas you're taking an approach of, well, how do we utilize your skill sets around HR to help cultivate a highly productive environment?
Well, if you have a healthy culture, right, then you're not going to get all the noise around it. You're not going to have high turnover. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have people saying you harassed me. You're not going to have, you know, issues with your employees, whether it's behavior or their performance, because you have open communication.
Right. So you consult and you coach, basically you coach businesses to do that.
Yeah.
In a
soft approach, though.
Right.
What happens is it naturally happens. You know, people come to you for advice and it's like, well, here's what I suggest. Instead of it being like, okay, this is my model, it's more like, well, this is human resources is filtered through me,
right?
And that's how I operate. Every once in a while, you want to write someone up, though. Like, there's a line, of course,
right.
But I prefer to have that approach with, you know, my clients. And like I said, if you have a healthy culture, then it works perfectly.
Yeah, and I think that kind of goes hand in hand with what, you know, what we do at, you know, on my the human assessment optimization side, because, you know, when leaders and managers or owners of businesses can see and understand and communicate, you know, to help cultivate that culture that you help them do, then it basically it literally takes your business to the next level.
Yeah,
I mean, it allows your business to really kind of grow, become scalable, because now everybody's happy and everybody wants to be there, and no, people aren't disengaged. I think they did some kind of a study where they showed disengaged employees are actually costing the company a lot more. And you know all those stats, I'm sure. So, So, okay, great. So, you know, who should reach out and connect with you? What kind of people would absolutely benefit from this, from Be the Change HR?
You said it earlier. So I love working with small business. If you have one employee, talk to me.
Right.
Like, it could be anything.
At least just have a phone call conversation.
Like,
right?
And I'm always open to that, you know, conversations on the house. Like, let's figure out what you've got going on. And I know that builds trust, too. It's like, you know, I'm here to help.
Right.
And so that's perfect for me. Anyone who has one employee all the way up until, let's say, you have 100, 150, 200, and you have, you know, HR support there already. Usually by that size, you should have someone.
In-house. Okay.
But some of my clients have like a junior person. You know, maybe they just graduated college.
Right.
Or they're a little bit, you know.
Okay.
Is it wet behind the ears or green?
Greenhorns and wet behind the ears.
So, with that, it's fun for me because I get to mentor a little bit.
Right.
You get to teach a little bit. Yeah, I get to do.
I do the layup,
and then I get them to slam dunk it. Like, here's what, you know, here's the process. Here's what we should do.
Right.
Here's all the tools. Show me when you're done with your work, and then we'll go through it together. And that's fun too.
And which is kind of a lot of what you do outside of work is the mentoring and the teaching and the speaking and all that stuff. So that kind of works. So that's cool because, you know, a lot of people are afraid, like, well, you know, will she feel threatened if I bring somebody in?
No.
And you'd be like, no, why?
And I'm very careful with those situations. So it's not, you know, it's the person I'm working with. We work together and then we communicate to the C-suite or the team that we're working with.
Right.
Because I don't want to step on their toes either, right? They're trying to build their career and their trust within that organization.
Right. So if your business is very people-centric and it's geared and it relies a lot on the talents and the skills within your organization, having a go-to HR consultants such as you mm-hmm. or your business is critical mm-hmm. for making sure that you continue to grow in the most holistic way
yeah.
and be the change in
yeah,
your industry,
and
right?
For clients who are small, I'm super affordable.
Uh-huh. I guess that's a concern too, right?
Yeah.
Why people don't reach out.
Yeah, I don't cost thousands. I mean, there's different packages I have,
right.
but I don't cost thousands of dollars to have me on call to have me, you know, I need this form. What do I do in this situation?
Right.
You know.
So people can retain you and
yeah.
just like kind of like a lawyer type of thing, you know, you
yeah.
pay it and then you just work it off or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So I'm pretty sure, I mean, we our audience is comprised of a lot of different entrepreneurs in different levels of their business, and I'm pretty sure a lot of them out there having the thought, "Oh, I should talk to an HR person." It's like, "Oh my god, if you haven't at least
right
have a conversation, right?" So if they wanted to reach out and connect with you, how do they best reach you? And I'm going to type in the information here on the
email me.
Email?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's Leilani.
Leilani.
At bethechangehr.org.
Bethechangehr.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you positioning yourself to be a B Corp as well?
We'll see. So what's really exciting is I went to my CPA. So I got all my books in order. I went to my CPA mm-hmm.
And bethechangehr.org. That's the website too,
yeah.
right? Okay.
He's like, you need to incorporate. So I'm like, so that was the next step.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll see what next year brings. But I would love to go through the certification process for.
Do you know anybody that has gone through it?
I've seen research through Samazon, so
okay.
I know a little bit about
what they went through. And everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There is one of my clients. He's a benefits corporation,
mm.
and so he's locally here. It would be good. Actually, I should connect you guys
yeah.
because he does light. HR consulting stuff, but I think he'd much rather not because, you know, whatever, you know,
yeah.
he just does insurance
mm-hmm.
and so that's his thing. So, yeah, I'll make the introduction because he actually went through the whole thing so he can take you through the step-by-step, everything that he went through from mm-hmm. a small business because some of them's kind of big, right?
Yeah.
So he's like a smaller, not as big, but he's, you know, I mean, he's decent size, but in generational, you know, business. But I think that would be actually a good conversation,
yeah.
you know, on a variety of different levels. So, okay, very cool. So for those of you who have been, you know, listening and paying attention and you say, wow, this person is amazing because she is, and you want to reach out to just have a conversation with her or maybe even like she does, just go out and just meet people, have coffee and stuff
yeah.
like that because she does so many different things beyond just the business. Good person to know in your life. Go to Leilani at bethechangehr.org. Not go there, but email her. Or you can go to her website, which is www.bethechangehr. That's BETHECHANGEHR.org. Okay, and so that way you can connect with her and everything like that and kind of like, you know, have her share more stories because there's a ton more stories, I'm sure,
oh, yeah.
of all the different things. But we just tapped on just a little bit, but that's enough. I mean, I just hearing that, I was like, oh, I mean, you inspired me. I was like, oh, yeah, I've done that too. Be the change, you know. So it's all about Be the Change.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Okay, so we have a couple minutes. And I think one of the things I would love for you to share because – there are a lot of people who are stepping into the world of entrepreneurship,
mm-hmm.
dealing with their money stories, dealing with like, oh no, it's just enough. And they're seeing themselves in that story because they're making just enough. And, you know, if they're new to the business, one of the big frustrations, I have to juggle and I have to deal with my money story and I have to do all these things. What is one thing, I mean, I know you said meditation and maybe it's just that, but what is one thing that you could leave with them to maybe take in consideration or apply right away that can make maybe an immediate shift in, you know, their struggles with what you were able to kind of overcome starting this new business?
I think it's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you have to believe in yourself 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most important piece.
Right.
Because once you believe that you're capable of achieving that next step or starting
right.
your business, then
uh-huh.
you'll know what to do. Everything else will fall into place.
Right.
Yeah.
So investing in doing the work to mm-hmm. overcome the lack of belief, because a lot of people are.
I kept saying in the very beginning, I had to get over this very quickly. There is only plan A.
Mm-hmm.
There is no plan B. And I kept repeating that.
It's like burn the ships, right?
Yeah. Like, this is, you're going to do this thing, and that's it.
Right.
And every once in a while, oh, you could get a job again. No. No. It's only plan A.
And a lot of people do that. They actually get a job, and then and then it takes energy away from their passion and what they really want to do.
Yes. You just have to believe in yourself 100%. Like, 100% in, this is the thing you're going to do. You're going to achieve it, and then the work comes after, right? What do you do in order to get there?
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, we've run out of time, but would have loved maybe have you come back another time to talk about, you know, despite, you know, because a lot of people think they can't find passion and love in what they've been doing for their entire life. Mm-hmm. You've been doing HR since you were 16, and somehow you found a way to make it fun and make it enjoyable for you, where you could have gone the other direction, which is, oh my God, I hate my job or I hate what I do. But you blended it somehow to help support what you truly wanted to do. So be interesting to talk about that story. So more to come.
Yes, definitely.
So, but anyway, Leila, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I mean, your story is amazing. It's inspiring just to see that. And just, I'm so excited to see what's going to unfold for you moving forward, because just 1 year and you're able to create all this success, six figures, and then some. We didn't even talk about that. And then I'm really excited to see the impact, really. Not just what your business is going to do in your own life, but in the lives of the others that you're going to use your business for, basically, to be the change.
Yep.
I love that name, Be the Change. So very, very cool. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is we're at the top of the hour. That's our show for this week. Again, if you found this episode to be valuable and know of someone else that could benefit from what we talked about or what Leilani talked about, you know, if you didn't hear it, listen to it again, because there's a ton of gemstones that were like kind of in there. Make sure you just share it, okay? Sharing is caring. So, and also make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a thumbs up on the YouTube Live if you end up watching the video. If you don't, then just, you know, like us on iTunes. I don't know, whatever. Okay? So, this tech thing is kind of funny. I gotta stop. Is that? Yeah, echo time. Okay, so... Okay, cool. That's a wrap. Have an amazing week to applying the knowledge from today, and we'll be back next week on the Money Lab Live podcast. This is Wei from the Money Lab and Leilani Kidai signing off. It makes a world go round.